from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of people weighing in on this. I share a fantasy football team with my wife. It's not my only fantasy football team, but it's a league I enjoy. It's got a lot of women in the league, so my wife has other women there that she can kind of bond with, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Befriend.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of fun people in there, and yet I got a text from somebody saying I can't trust anybody who shares a fantasy football team with their wife.
That guy, that, yeah, he's saying that he can't trust you.
Yeah.
The way you phrased it, it kind of sounded like,
I can't trust anybody that shares a fantasy team with their wife, end quote. Right?
Yeah, so, which I just honestly, I feel like that's that speaks to some baggage, unless he meant it as a joke. I feel like that speaks to some baggage either in your own relationships or your life or your feelings about male-female relationships. You're like, Sean, like the reality of the situation is, Sean spends a whole lot of time with his friends just at the bar doing other stuff. Like, but he and Amy also share a lot of common interests and have a really fun relationship. It's like, it's not like, like Sean is some browbeaten the half man of a husband whose wife keeps him under lock and key all the time.
Pretty easy to live with.
Yeah. Man. So like, you got to get off some of the propaganda. It comes on my timeline sometimes and I'm like, God, this is what young men are looking at. Oh crap.
Yeah.
Like these fake alpha males on Twitter that try to convince the young men that all women are actually out to get them, or that you gotta be the strong one, and like this, that, the other thing. No, it's just stop that nonsense.
Couple texts, and then we'll get to the topic at hand. That equates sharing a fantasy football team equates to a shared couple's Facebook page.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Mm. It's not even annoying or anything. It doesn't affect anybody except the people that are actually involved with it.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot. Right. There's a lot more. Like, Facebook's very public.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think some guys are scarred by bad experiences where maybe their wife or girlfriend wanted to participate in the activity.
Yeah.
But then, like, they become a hindrance in the activity because they're just not, they don't know what they're talking about, or they've got to explain everything. Like, it's a very individual thing. And Amy is dialed in on this.
She
stuff.
Dialed in, dude. We had so fun. We were sitting in traffic because the draft's in League City. Yeah. So she's riding shotgun. I'm driving and she's reading like different theories on how to draft to me. Like she's got a notebook out and she's writing down sleepers and stuff. And then we ate dinner. We just parked in the parking lot at Chick-fil-A and ate in our car while I had my laptop out, and we were just, you know, like doing things that were fun for
Well, you know, the other thing too is like, okay, I watch Astros games with my wife.
Right.
Because I have to, because she's a much better baseball watcher than me.
She educates
her attention span is better. Yeah. She's a coach. She played, you know, she's played softball or what have you, but it's like, so she knows not the same sport, but the rules and strategies and everything. Everything's a lot more natural for her. And she's really smart when it comes to watching sports.
That's so cool.
So it's like, it's not like, oh yeah, my wife makes me watch it with her. It's like, no, I need to. And and honestly, she's a pain in the ass about how much she needs to watch the Astros.
Oh,
it affects our schedule because she has to watch the Astros.
Does it affect her mood?
Yes. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a pain in the butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet it's really cool.
Oh, no, no, you know, it's really cool. Yeah. But, like, that's how much more of a better baseball watcher she is than me.
Yep. I beat my husband in fantasy last year. What an ass. Good for you, Sean. I don't know if this particular person means that the guy texting was an ass or her husband is an ass for losing to her in fantasy. I beat my husband in fantasy last year. What an ass.
You know what Brandy's a pain in the ass with when I'm watching the split step? Like, so when a shortstop is, you've probably never noticed this before, Sean, but like when a shortstop is standing, getting ready for the pitch, they time it up so that when the ball would come off the bat, you're there's a little bit of a hop.
Sure.
So what it does is it loads your legs up so you can move more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you a little rebound effect.
Yeah.
She won't shut up about it because she's a volleyball coach and she realizes, like, in volleyball, a lot of younger players, it's not part of, like, the normal coaching of volleyball traditionally.
Yeah.
So she spends a lot of time with kids working on learning the split step.
Split step.
And
okay.
So now she has to point it out with every damn infielder that either does or doesn't use it.
Who has the best split step on the Astros?
Bregman.
Bregman does.
I think she's gonna. I don't know if she's listening or not. She needs to back me up on this because I don't.
That stands to reason.
Frankly, a lot of times I'm tuned out.
He's very technically sound.
Yeah. I don't think she's. You know what? I'll give her report tomorrow. I don't want to botch the report.
Okay.
Split step scouting report. There's one very good defensive player that she feels could use it better.
Okay, we'll just call it a tease.
Yeah.
We'll call it a tease for tomorrow.
Well, no, for tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. For tomorrow. Are the Texans and the AFC South in the upper half of divisions in the National Football League right now? These are articles that I used to, literally the better part of the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
These things would get posted and be like, all right, is the AFC South 7th or 8th? Which are they? You know, the rare year where some league is worth. When the Texans were winning all those divisions under Bill O'Brien, it was the worst division in football.
Yeah.
Especially when they were winning them with a 9-7 record back in the day. And Brian Hoyer and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Mallett as some sort of carousel of mediocre quarterbacking.
Yeah.
Dan Graziano of ESPN, he's using Football Power Index. I will not dive deep into what all goes into the Football Power Index, but just know that that is a measurement of how good a team is versus the mean, the average of the league. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have a 0.1 FPI. It means they're right at the average. They're an average football team. Texans are third they have an FPI, a Football Power Index rating of 3, which puts them 9th in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little gauge right there. But he takes the 4 Football Power Indexes of the teams in each division and just adds them up. And then adds a little bit of his own subjectivism to it if it's a close one. AFC South, 4th best division in football this year, according to Dan Graziano. Upper half.
Upper half, bottom quartile of the upper half.
Yes,
yeah.
Bottom quartile of the second quartile.
Yeah. There we go.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds better somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, good job, AFC South. Now, the things that could upend this are Anthony Richardson might not actually be a good quarterback. We don't know.
Yep.
He looked really good versus the Texans last year, but we don't know exactly just how good a quarterback he is.
Yep.
I think people are very bullish on the new Titans coach. More so than anything, I'm his father. Is the offensive line coach.
You're bullish on that,
and
guy.
He's one of the better offensive line coaches of the past couple decades. That Callahan Senior might be a big turnaround for them, but I don't think Will Levis is the guy. Not by a long shot.
Nope.
I don't think Will Levis is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I'm kind of shocked that there's still people out there who do. But maybe we just saw more of him in prepping for Titans games and whatnot.
He's like what Emmanuel Acho was calling on the cut we played yesterday about Daniel Jones. Will Levis is a time zero.
Yeah.
You know, they added Calvin Ridley. They added Legarius Sneed.
Calvin Ridley, who the Jaguars weren't really all that high on because he couldn't fix Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Now all of a sudden he's going to be the guy that fixes or makes Will Levis better quarterback.
They added Jamal Adams too, right? Who's
kind
of washed. They added Quandre Diggs. So they added a couple veteran safeties. Like they're a weird team because they're making some moves that are closer to like all in moves than they are building team moves.
Well,
and yet Will Levis might be a time zero at the end of
Will Levis in that game that season last year. Now remember what people were saying about him to try to dress him up in the draft process was, well, if he stays healthy, Like, okay, well, I'm watching him, even in the preseason. He's out there looking like he's trying to prove he's a man to daddy.
Yes.
It looks like he's trying to prove himself to Alpha Twitter. Alpha Male Twitter. Yes. You know, like, he's taking hits that are just so stupid, not even to get a first down.
Yes.
Like, to get an extra couple yards, 4 yards shy of the first down marker.
Do you think Will Levis thinks it's stupid that I have a fantasy team with my wife?
Definitely, 100%. Yeah,
because so
I'm a real man.
I think so, too. Especially because he's definitely not on our fantasy team.
No, but
team
even
either.
You go back to the Texans game, one of the reasons the Texans were able to be so effective versus Derrick Henry last year was that there was no threat from Will Levis. There were a few instances in those games where an average NFL quarterback would have torched the Texans.
Yeah. Because
the Texans had blown coverages downfield, and Will Levis couldn't take advantage of it. Threw ducks up in the air. So
that's really funny, because they played the Titans weeks 15 and 17,
yeah.
And in between was the week that Joe Flacco lit them up. 265 to Amari Cooper.
Yeah,
that day, right.
Right?
Well, like, that was a leaky secondary.
Yeah,
they were,
and Will Levis couldn't take advantage of
right.
it. So, but what people will say is, he had injury issues last year. Right, why do I keep hearing this about Will Levis? Because he's an idiot who doesn't know how to protect himself. He's probably, his body fat is probably about 5% lower than it should be, because he's got to be good for the Instagram and the funny mayo commercials and everything else like that.
Yep.
He's injured all the time. And even when he's healthy, he's not actually all that good a quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If he weren't so annoying as a person, I would feel bad in crushing him like this. But he's also annoying as a person.
He's annoying as a person. The three divisions ahead of the AFC South. Number one, AFC North. All four teams are at or above average in the FPI. There's no negative scores in that division. The Steelers are a 0.0. And after that, it's all teams that are on the positive side of the football power index. That passes the smell test. The Ravens are a really good team. The Bengals, when Burrow is healthy, really good team. The Browns are good other than their quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are always competitive.
You know, I need to hear Micah Parsons' take on the NFC East being the sixth ranked in the eight divisions of football.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, that was the argument he got in with C.J. Stroud during the draft, where they were having an argument over who the best division was in football, and oddly and weirdly, Micah Parsons is trying to throw the NFC East into the mix and starts talking about what their preseason rankings were last year. And but you're talking about
Parsons
right,
is a terrible debater.
Like the Commanders and the Giants are, and you're on there trying to say that you're, and he's like, going into the preseason, we're
right.
ranked the best.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you played the season.
Football.
Yeah.
And the Eagles
yes, and
turned into an absolute disaster in the back half of the season. He's trying to say they're as good as the AFC North.
Dude, the Commanders were picking second and the Giants were picking sixth in the draft. What the hell are you talking about? NFC West is second. Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals. Seahawks and Cardinals are both seen as below average football team. Cardinals are a really interesting team to me this year, because they were 4-13 last year.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw it here at NRG Stadium in week 11. They were a spunky 4-13, and they got Kyler Murray back halfway through the season.
Well, and we saw Kyler Murray when he was still trying to really learn the system.
Yeah.
And he was physically tired by the fourth quarter. So we didn't see super mobile Kyler Murray. But I think this system, which will be the first real time Kyler Murray's ever been in an actual NFL offense, because that wasn't an NFL offense that Cliff Kingsbury was running. And they did some good things for half a season a few times and then would fall apart because they weren't an actual NFL offense.
Yeah.
Now he's in an actual NFL offense. And if he really throws himself into it, it could be scary.
Yeah.
If he picks it up and if he really just buys hook, line, and sinker into it, it could be really good.
NFC North is third. The Texans play all four of these teams this year. Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings. Definitely a strong division, I would say.
Yeah.
I think the variables, you know, it's funny. Ultimately, you look at the variables in these divisions, and I feel like 80% of the time it's going to be quarterback. Like, is Jordan Love what he... I think the Lions are a legitimately good, deep, well-rounded football team with a great offensive line, and I think that's a big key for them versus the Texans. But is Jordan Love who he was the last nine games in the playoffs last year? Most of the playoffs, other than the pick that he threw against the Niners. What is Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
what are the Minnesota Vikings with all that talent, but Sam Darnold at quarterback?
Right. Yeah, with all that talent with Sam Darnold at quarterback. And what if Brian Flores all of a sudden turns into a completely different person and it doesn't work out for him?
Criticism, has it softened him?
A deeply reflective Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator, decides after some soul searching in what Tua said, decides that he's just going to just lay back and just be a different guy. Whatever his methodology is as a defensive coordinator seems to be working, but who knows?
Yeah. The worst division in football right now, I don't even need to page down. It's got to be the NFC South. That division is, they have the Falcons who are hovering around average in the other three teams. Dude, the Carolina Panthers, -6.7, the worst team in football. Okay, this
That's
was
pro- odd.
This was prob that was probably
That's the- odd because I haven't checked in on them in a long time, and I thought that they got the best quarterback in the draft and the perfect situation for that quarterback.
So guys, how we doing? Yeah. Everyone good?
We haven't played that draft in a
while. Maybe his nuts dropped in the offseason. Maybe it's he comes back.
Not the video I've seen.
Yeah, big old backpack.
Yeah, dude, get a smaller backpack.
Yeah, the kids have a hard time these days because they carry these big backpacks.
Bryce has a gigantic backpack. It makes him look like an Oompa Loompa.
He's
like
going to have a bulging disc from his backpack.
Yes. Man, a lot of people, a lot of fantasy football owners, or at least opinion havers, listening to the show. My wife, text message, is a three-time fantasy football champ, and we were talking about good fantasy football players. She can be my partner anytime. Yeah, if she's good at it, definitely. Amy's good at it. We've been in that league 2 years. We've made the playoffs both years. The 1 year, she's like, okay, well, I'll let you handle the playoffs the first year we were in it, and we got housed in the playoffs. She's like, well, you're fired. I'm handling the team from now on. Alpha male is jealous of my relationship with Amy, is what a texter says.
Probably he's lashing out against
because I have a good relationship with my wife where we enjoy doing things together.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That's
it's a shame.
Yeah.
My wife is my best friend. It's weird to not want to share things with your wife, is what a texter
just said.
The texter just said, my wife is my best friend. It's weird to not want to share things with
your
wife.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, having a healthy relationship. There's one segment of Alpha Male Twitter which almost feels like even having a healthy relationship with any woman is A, impossible, and B, you should be ashamed of it if you think you do.
One thing I don't share with my wife that apparently she shares with me, but I always forget that she does, my location on my phone. And I think Amy's a little bothered by this. I just don't want, this may be the old guy, I just don't want people knowing where I am. I don't go anywhere. She knows where I am.
You'd like 80% you don't need to pull off any shenanigans.
I got four places I go to. Like, it's, you know?
We share a location on that app. But for me, it's for my personal safety, I think, more so than anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As a younger man, I probably wouldn't have liked it.
You got a lot of mobsters after you or something?
I get kind of confused sometimes. I get lost here and there and just whatever. I get stuck and just, yeah.
That's true. And she checks on you when you go to Walmart. You know that.
Yeah, whether I'm okay or not. I understand that, though, as a guy. Like, not wanting that all to, like, even early in our relationship, I don't know if I would have liked that or not, but now it's almost like, I mean, we've been married, like, a long time.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Let me do that. The cool thing about Brandy is she doesn't remember our anniversary either.
That's really cool.
We've been married for 22 years.
Dude, Amy
we've
has been together all, like, how many years?
22 years.
That's really good,
and we've
been
together for, like, 26 or 27.
Yeah, we're at the, just hit the 4-year mark on the marriage. Today is like when we, like, it's August 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Glad we had this conversation. Today's like the day we, like, officially became a couple. Like, back in 2010.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm glad we talked about this.
August 22nd is my high school girlfriend's birthday. I never forget that.
Boy, did she get some good gifts.
On the dot, every time.
All right. Are we checking in on Yankee fans in this next segment?
Yes. We need to check in on Yankees fans. We were talking earlier about who people who like the long season, who don't. Yankees fans do not like the long season.
Do not. Yeah. No. All right. So we got Yankee fans we got to check in on. And they're upset.
Yeah.
We will check in on one in particular coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of texts on this fantasy sharing topic. We'll read them in just a second. Let's get to this distraught Yankee fan. I'll let you set this up because you showed this to me. The Yankee fan?
Oh, yeah. This is, well, all I can set up is the same way you saw it, was that Astros Future on Twitter had posted this. This is a Yankees fan. At first, I thought it was a Mariners fan, but you find out as she goes along that it is indeed a Yankees fan. I couldn't see. I think it was off of TikTok, so I don't know who the woman is, but she's a Yankees fan. She can go die. this is some Yankees fan just beside herself with frustration over the Astros getting their act together this year.
I am just here to remind everyone that the Houston Astros are inevitable. Someone explain to me how the Mariners had a 10-game lead in the division. 10 games. Now the Astros suddenly have a 5-game lead in the division. They are 11 of their last 12. And if I hear one person ever bitch and ever complain, oh, well, we just had too many injuries. Yeah? The Astros had a tortured pitchers department to start the season. People were going, oh my gosh, that Josh Hader contract's not really aging well. Yeah? That Josh Hader entrance has me shaking in my boots. I am petrified of that sinker. Oh, Alex Bregman's not going to be his year. Nope, Alex Bregman is fine. And they have dealt with the most amount of injuries. And once again, they are like a bug. They are like a disease. No fan base has it easier than the Houston Astros. 8 straight trips to the ALCS. And guess where they're probably going again this year? They're probably going right back because Altuve keeps hitting that scoreboard. Thank you guys so much for beating the Red Sox yesterday. Yankee fans, we thoroughly appreciate it. But oh my gosh, I can't take it anymore. How this team just continues year after year after year to continue to win. Never again will I count this team out. Never again. Because they have proven me wrong time and time again. Whew. Sickening.
Is that a chicken with her at the end there?
Was there a chicken?
It sounded like a... There's a noise right before she closed out. Okay.
Now, the thing about the Yankees is, look, they still have a very respectable record, 74-53.
They're first in the league right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But they're, I think they had started off looking at the Astros is just an afterthought. And, like, finally, we don't have to worry about the Astros this year. There's no way they can dig their way out of this hole. Because the Yankees have been through some trials and tribulations, but they still have a very good record. But they are, what, 21 games above 500 right now? They're 74-53.
Yep.
They were 21 games above 500 on June 1st. So, like, they've been hovering around they've been playing at a 500 clip that whole time.
They've been a few rough weeks.
They've been an average baseball team. Well, the Astros have reclaimed their status as a team to be, if not feared like they once were, at the very least, oh, they're going to be there again in the postseason. Great. Dude. And there's not a single Yankees fan alive. I think where she screwed up was at the end there, where it was like she was just coming to this realization or something. This is how Yankees fans have felt for a long time. They don't want to see the Astros in the ALCS.
No.
They just flat out, they don't want to see Altuve in the ALCS specifically.
Yep. No, for sure. Okay, so some interesting things there with this video. Ben, can you play just start it from the very beginning again? I'll down cue you.
I'm just here to remind everyone that the Houston Astros are inevitable. Someone explain.
Okay, you can stop. She had a whiteboard that she was holding. I didn't see what was written on it. It said Astros, and it might have had like their record or something. But that sound was her throwing the whiteboard.
Maybe
down.
It was the record, like when they were at their bottom there at the beginning of the season. I don't know.
So she was throwing a whiteboard on the ground right there. Okay, number two, I was impressed as a Yankee fan. She made it through that entire video, probably like 90 seconds. No curse words.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't have to do any work on that.
Yeah, I was nervous.
Are we sure she's a Yankee fan?
I thought I was going to overly text Ben. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's posing as a...
No curse words. It.
Usually if somebody's posing as another team's fan base, they make a real big mockery of it.
Yeah. Okay, the one thing she said in there that I take issue with is how easy it's been for Astro fans through the years.
Yeah, it's been hard,
It's so
man.
Much easier it's for a, Astro fans. I'm like, bro, we were persecuted for four years, like two years hardcore persecuted. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, there's still dummies around who don't realize their own teams were either doing or admitted to doing similar things to the Astros are doing, and they still try to persecute us, but we've got a hardened exterior now.
Yeah, Boomer Esiason, Yankees fan, wouldn't even acknowledge the day that the Yankees had to confess in court or disclose a letter that showed that they were
the
up
to sealed
Dodgery.
Letter, man. Yeah.
He wouldn't even acknowledge it on his blessed sports minute, his blessed sports 20
sports
seconds.
15 seconds, yeah. So I take issue with that. Like, it's been more fun to be an Astros fan because they win all the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's easy. Dude, it's hard sitting there in a playoff series that goes seven games.
Heavy as the head that wears the crown, Yankees fans.
Man.
Don't envy us.
Yeah.
You know, ask your grandparents about it. Back when the Yankees, back when they were used to be really good, okay? Just don't act like it's some easy thing.
Right. Last bullet point, the bullet point of the superficial man.
Mm-hmm.
Say about like a 6.5, just appearance wise, but with that rant, probably a solid 7.5 for me.
Oh, as far as
she's
you find her attractive with that hot, fiery sports.
Definitely,
thing.
That makes her more attractive to me.
Uh huh.
I don't care who the team is she roots for, like that type of fire about sports.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already kind of good looking to begin with,
yes. I got the split step rankings of the infielders back from Brandy.
Oh, let's give it.
The split step, the little hop you take just as the ball crosses the plate.
And Brandy critiques these
she knows it from having played softball as an infielder, but also just that she coaches it to volleyball players because they don't do it naturally the way baseball players, or at least some baseball players, do. It's a very effective way to get a better first step on the ball. I remember that she had Bregman ranked top.
So you got that right.
Yeah, Bregman has the best split stop.
That's good.
Split step. Altuve after that. Singleton actually has a good one.
Does he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like Singleton's trying to do the most with what he's working with. In this, the one that I was, she's not sure about Dubon. Pena's kind of iffy with it. Pena's not as consistent with it.
You know what Pena strikes me as? Somebody, he strikes me like as one of those basketball players who's just so supremely like physically talented that they forget about the fundamentals.
Sometimes he gets away from that. Because
he's really talented.
Oh, yeah, incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And then Yiner just doesn't use it at all. So
I can't blame him for that.
He transitioned from catcher to first base.
He'll get there.
He's got some time.
He'll get there, Brandy. Don't worry. He'll get there.
But yeah, it wasn't a surprise that Bregman was the top, like, Mr. Fundamental.
No, Mr. Technician.
Yeah, he's got little Knox probably already split stepping all over the
place. Dude, Knox would have the second best one on the team right now if he were an Astro. Yeah, for sure. Let's see here. This goes back to me sharing a fantasy team with Amy. I'd never share a fantasy team with my wife just because of how many arguments it would cause. LOL. She gets her own team and we play against each other in the same league.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was offered up to us too, but I think Amy, we felt like this is something we could do together, you know, manage the team together. All caps, be a man, kick your wife off the team. No, it's going to go the other way around probably at some point.
Seems the shared email and the shared Facebook page seems to be universally hated by people.
Yes.
Except for the people that have it. I didn't even realize that was a thing because I'm never on Facebook and I've never encountered a joint email account. I think the only time I've seen a joint email account and people I've dealt with is when they actually have like a business together, which so I'm emailing this the husband wife they so or, like that makes sense,
or a special occasion I've seen, like there's a wedding coming up, so it's pendergastwedding@gmail.com or something. They both have access to that kind of thing. That ever happens for me, like I don't want access to a wedding email.
Somebody took me to task for having the location tracker, like sharing with my wife. So I have this Life 360, which is good. It's really good for kids.
My daughter
you can
has
follow
it.
You because so I got when I got it it actually, like, I was joking that my wife needs it so she knows that haven't gotten lost or something. My wife usually forgets that we even have the app. It is really helpful for, like, when you're coordinating, like, you're trying to get ready for a family event or something, and you want to see, okay, how long is it going to be before she gets back? And they're like, okay, when's this gummy going to kick in? All that kind of stuff. You can kind of time things out better.
Gonna need to take two.
And I do worry about my wife when she's driving. So, like, when she has to drive on a long trip or something, I like being able to see that. Like, okay, she's moving along.
When's this gummy going to kick in? My girlfriend, now fiance, and I were in a fantasy league together. This is a text message. Her first time ever playing. We both made it to the semifinals. I was losing with no players left to play, but she had the Colts defense. So this guy is losing going into, like, Monday Night Football, and she has the Colts defense. So all the Colts defense has to do is just not screw up. And this young lady wins the game. Instead of telling her to take out her defense and guarantee, like, put in a defense that has a, you know, like, that's not playing or whatever, take out her defense and just not play one and guarantee her victory, I decided to say nothing. The Colts went out and got negative points.
Oh, wow.
And I moved on to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In their league. Oh, that's nefarious. And yet she got engaged to you.
I think it's probably like sharing a fantasy team with your wife is like so many other things in life. It's just individual to that situation. Yeah. Some people should do it and some people should not.
Right.
It's like polyamory. It's not for almost anybody.
It's a lot to process.
Long term, it's but for some people, they seem to make it work. I guess.
If you mix up names,
theoretically,
it might not be for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to share your location, Sean, because you have to ask Amy permission before you go anywhere. That's a text message. It's not true most of the time. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, there's preseason football tonight. Seth is excited about
this. I'm excited because,
there is one big reason to watch preseason football tonight. And Seth's about to get fired up about it. That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop in just a little bit. Seth, you're fired up about this, man.
What's that?
Thursday night football.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday night preseason football with a key AFC South ramification here. An AFC South foe starting their starting quarterback.
Supposedly, they're going to start their starters. That's what I had read, at least as of yesterday.
Colts is who we're talking about.
Yeah, the Colts,
here.
Sorry. The Colts who, gave Anthony Richardson and gave Leatu Leitu, their first-round defensive end, the veteran treatment in their last preseason game, said, nah, we've seen enough from the combined practices. We're going to play the backups in this game. Apparently now they're going to play their starters. So I'm excited to watch these guys because, for one, Anthony Richardson in his first go-round Didn't look so hot. I mean, I don't think it was as bad as the TV copy looked when I went back and watched the All-22, but Anthony Richardson made one curious decision, had one errant throw that was a reception, but could have been a better placed C.J. Stroud-like ball, could have been a huge gain. So I don't think it was a great look for Anthony Richardson. And Liatu Leitu, though, their edge rusher, I thought actually versus in their first preseason game they were playing the Broncos, he went against Garrett Bowles, the starting left tackle, a solid player, and I thought he did pretty well.
Yeah.
I thought he did things better than what I had seen from him in college in terms of power in his game. So I'm getting excited about the Leatu Leitu versus Laremy Tunsil matchup.
Week one. Yeah.
But because I still do think, I think Laremy is going to really shut him down. But I think Colts fans have justifiable reasons to be excited about Leatu Leitu right now, but I don't think he's ready for Laremy Tunsil. So, I'm excited about this Bengals-Colts game.
Bengals, they're playing the Bengals, and we should point out, why is that significant? Well, the Bengals, the reports out of the joint practices this week, the ones that I've seen have mostly emanated from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And they've not been very complimentary about Anthony Richardson. At the very least, Anthony Richardson is doing things that have got Bengals defenders talking mad trash to him.
Yeah, there's an article in The Athletic that had some quotes from Bengals defenders during the game, which I guess they were talking smack to the fans, to the Colts fans. So, you know, this wasn't given in a press conference or anything. It's not like if these quotes were in a press conference, it would be really like, wow. But this was them, the Cincinnati Bengals defenders talking smack the Colts fans. Cam Taylor Britt said, is that all he does is run? Geno Stone said, he's throwing to spots. He doesn't see his receivers. And then somebody else, throw the ball, bro. So apparently there's a whole lot of pulling the ball down and running when the first option wasn't open.
So they were aiming those comments at the fans? Apparently, they weren't like up in Anthony Richardson's face
they were yelling it at the fans.
Changes the tenor of it a little bit. It
changes the context, but it does paint a picture of what was going on in the practice.
That is true,
Whole lot of pulling the ball down and running, which that doesn't, it's not that that's not scary.
It's scary.
We saw what happened when Anthony Richardson pulled the ball down and ran versus the Texans.
Don't know what you're talking about.
They won the game in that first quarter, you know?
Yeah.
The Texans, if they had won the game, would have also won it in the first quarter when they concussed Anthony Richardson.
Although
Gardner Minshew wasn't a bad choice or anything.
No, he came in and pieced him, man.
You know, CJ played well after that, but it was playing in a deficit, a healthy deficit, so it wasn't you didn't really know what to make of it at that point. But I really want to see Anthony Richardson play on television. And then I want to see Leatu Leitu and just exactly what his bag of tools is as he faces Laremy Tunsil in the
first game. So if you're a Texan fan, this is pretty high on the must-watch scale.
I think so. If they actually follow through on what typically is a big old pile of lies and BS out of the Colts organization, maybe they don't follow through on it.
I've got the attendance for today's practice when it comes to injured Texans.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been the same 10 names for 3 weeks now. Like, these guys, they got a few guys back yesterday. Davis was practicing yesterday. Yeah. Davis Mills had a couple nice throws. Had a nice throw to Mechie that you pointed out earlier. We didn't talk earlier. Xavier Hutchinson had a nice one-handed catch on
a deep ball. Both John Mechie caught a ball, a Davis Mills pass, where he had to catch it off of the carom off of somebody's forearm, off of C.J. Henderson's forearm. Yep. And then Xavier Hutchinson had a one-arm contested catch. It was really nice. That was really a Davis Mills bomb as well.
Yeah, like two snaps later. Yeah. So it was wild.
And real quick, Shane Steichen said that the starters will play about a quarter and a half tonight.
Okay, I'll take it. In the last preseason game, I'll take it. I'll watch that tonight for sure. So Davis Mills came back. Skowronek came back. Mixon got a full workload yesterday, which he hasn't been doing much of. These are the names that are not practicing. And again, this is like the same list of the last 3 weeks. Jeff Okuda, MJ Stewart, Andrew Beck, Christian Harris, Will Anderson, Charlie Heck, David Sharp, Tegan Katoriano, Noah Brown, Denico Autry, Tim Settle. Put Denico Autry off to the side.
Yeah.
He's going to be suspended the first six games. He will be on this team. Of the other 10 or so names, the only ones right now that I can say with any degree of confidence are going to be on this team are Christian Harris and Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. They'll both be on the 53, even if they don't practice for, you know, right. they, if, yeah. you know, well, the 53 gets chopped down on Tuesday
we
of do, next
we
week.
We don't know if they're going to be on the game day roster week one.
Right,
but,
right.
Like, so we don't know a lot about Will Anderson's ankle. We've barely seen Christian Harris. So that's those are big names.
Yeah.
But.
The other ones are all, I mean, the other ones, if I, like, stop me when I get to a name, Seth, where you feel like, okay, that guy's on the roster. Mm-hmm. That guy doesn't need to be out there. Jeff Okuda, MJ Stewart, Andrew Beck, Charlie Heck, David Sharp.
Oh, wait, stop. Charlie Heck, I guess, just because I think, well.
Charlie, yeah, I think Charlie's got to be out there practicing or else he's done.
Oh, so you're saying.
Stop me when I get to a name that you think is on this team.
Oh,
you think
okay,
has made
gotcha.
The team. Okay,
gotcha.
You ready?
Okay.
I'll start over.
Gotcha.
Jeff Okuda, MJ Stewart, Andrew Beck.
MJ Stewart's on the team.
You think he's on the team?
Yeah.
Okay. Charlie Heck, David Sharp, Tegan Katoriano, Noah Brown. I like that you didn't say anything there.
Not 100% sure.
Right. Yeah. But you're 100% on MJ Stewart.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Tim Settle.
Tim Settle. I had high hopes for Tim Settle, and it has really been a lot of... He hasn't practiced since the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, he's been out there for a while. Or maybe the Pittsburgh game, I'm not sure. Been a couple weeks, though. So these are guys that all need to get out on the field and start practicing. Well, I mean, this is their last chance to practice. There's a practice and a game, and then they're cutting this bad boy down on Tuesday of next week.
Do you have MJ Stewart on your final 53?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't, but it was a 53 that I made last week. I did not. He was definitely on the bubble. So, I guess,
who was your fourth safety in that, instance?
I'd have to pull it up. I think
What is wrong with our internet?
It's super slow.
It's driving me insane.
It's super slow. Super slow. There's a bunch of guys hurt that I think their chances of making the team. Some of them may make the team, but man, I think those are all guys we just named, most of them, that at least need to put something else out there to feel good about making the team.
It's one of the things when we talked to Cal and Hannah yesterday, and you guys go to the Odyssey app or on YouTube and look at that 7 a.m. interview. We played it. We recorded it yesterday. We played it today. It was I had brought up how competitive the roster is this year, and just the fact that, you know, there's going to be some guys off the team that you probably have emotional ties to that you like. And Hannah had a very sad look on her face.
Yeah, it reminded her of something traumatic.
It looked like she was almost, I felt bad. Like, I felt like I'd caused her pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My safety's I do have MJ Stewart making the team. Sorry. Okay. Yes, I do. He's the last safety I have making the team. I've got Petrie. I've got, Jimmy Ward, Kalen Bullock as locks to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Eric Murray and MJ Stewart making the team.
I guess the Lonnie Johnson's an interesting one, and I wonder where he is, like how the Texans feel about him right now, because he's still the one thing about Lonnie Johnson is when you see him in person, he's so big. I can't believe they ever tried to make him a cornerback. He's so big.
So big.
Not fat at all. He's just so big. It was like Brandon Browner back in the day, how big he was as a cornerback.
Yeah.
And he was really good in cover three where it wasn't like they were having him out there trying to be Darrell Revis or anything. But Lonnie was just, he's huge. And he has upside there. And I've heard that he's a different guy than he was the first go round as a draft pick of the Texans. So I'm sure they're intrigued by him. And I wonder if, you know, he might be a guy that they feel like they could keep around on the practice squad. Or maybe they feel better about him than that. But I think that's an MJ Stewart / Lonnie Johnson decision based on skill sets or dependability and everything. There's a lot of different, they're different dudes.
Yeah.
And they might think about upside of Lonnie Johnson, but I don't know.
I wonder if the makeup of the safety room factors into that at all. Like at this point, MJ Stewart's probably biggest trait is versatility and experience.
Yeah.
If you got Eric Murray and Jimmy Ward in that safety room, you're pretty long on experience there, I would say.
Right, well, and then that Jalen Petrie is going to be playing safety as well on base downs, or at least he has been in the preseason.
Oh, playing slot corner, you mean?
No, playing safety.
Oh, okay.
He plays safety
on base downs. On base downs. Yeah. Sorry, I think you always say their base is basically nickel.
Oh, yeah, so now I've got so ingrained into that. So he's going to be playing both safety and nickelback. So that makes it gives you a little bit more flexibility in just how you compose the roster.
Yep. So, man, should be fun out there today. Got the Rams out there today. Got Cal and his crack staff of burger flippers, one of which is me.
We've got at least some of our fans, some of our listeners might be heckling Les Snead, the GM of the Rams.
Good job, Seth.
For
yes.
going cheap on the dinner that he took me out to when I was a young draft prospect.
1997.
We suspect that he had like a $100 allowance for the dinner or something and just pocketed the rest because he took me to a taco place. Instead of, and I never just thought, I thought now, 27 years later, it occurred to me, oh, yeah, what would I do in that situation? I'd do what Les Snead did. I'd take the $80, you know, after it was left over.
Were the tacos at least good?
No, it was in Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Known
it wasn't
for their good. Tacos.
Yeah.
A bunch of white guys made me that taco. Like, no, it
wasn't. A
bunch
of gringos,
good.
Yep. John Lopez, this is probably something you can relate to maybe a little better than than Reginald can because Reginald's single, married. I mentioned earlier that Amy and I share a fantasy team. I told a story about our fantasy draft last night where the AI that runs the league spit out a report card and a synopsis about all the teams.
Yeah, sounds like y'all stink.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. According to AI, we do. I don't think we do.
Okay.
Yeah. But they gave us a D plus. The topic didn't become the D plus grade because nobody cares about who's on our fantasy team. Yeah. There was at least one texter who was like, it was pathetic that I share a fantasy team with my wife.
Pathetic.
Like
with
he was
a capital P.
He was real. I don't know. Maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he was clearly like it was a big problem with him. That I share a fantasy team with my wife. So
get
I'm
over
curious.
Yourself.
Get
over yourself.
So you're saying that to the texter, not
yes,
me.
Okay, yes. Yeah, gotcha. Yes. To the texter. I think it'd be more fun.
Yeah,
I mean, think about the great arguments you could have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious.
There's a man that likes to argue.
No, I like to tweak.
Yeah.
I usually concede the arguments, the actual arguments, but like I love to just turn that little knife.
Oh, that's smart. Make her feel like she won.
You know what I think, Sean? I think maybe that guy, in his mind, he's painting a picture, you know, and obviously he's got his own baggage involved too, but he might be thinking like if it's your fantasy league from like college and it's all your guy friends or something, but then all of a sudden one of your friends is like, hey, my wife's going to join us this year.
Yeah.
That's where I bet that's what he was envisioning.
It takes a wife that is just as much of a smart aleck as you are.
Because
if she would propose a trade, I would say, are you insane?
Yeah.
You know, and then she'd come right back at me. All in fun. I think it'd be fun.
Right.
Yeah.
You know Amy well enough to know that that's what happens.
She's a smart ass, too.
Yeah.
Half the time, we're talking about leagues where y'all aren't that good at GMing anyways.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so it's fine, right? I think some of this is the idea that, oh, man, this woman can't get in here and make these decisions. The hell she can't.
You're right. Yeah. Especially when it comes to, like, actually paying attention. Things that women tend to be better at than us. Like, oh,
it's
like
crazy,
remembering things. Like, remembering, oh, it's Thursday.
Yeah. Dude.
Sean doesn't know what day it is. You guys hear the show.
Yeah.
He never knows what day it is.
So right.
Have you set the lineup for Thursday night football?
She's got a reminder set. Like, did you set the lineup? Is the new did you take out the trash?
Right, and that's the one place where I think the texter might have a little bit of a idea there.
Yeah.
Is now you're opening up another angle for a small thing to become a big thing.
Adding points of failure to a marriage.
She's bringing it up in other arguments about other stuff.
And
you don't ever know
when to set the line off.
The one guy in the room who's not married maybe looks at this through a clear lens.
All three of us have been brainwashed so thoroughly.
No, it just sounds like y'all are great husbands. That's all I hear.
I'm writing down my to-do list. Hang out with Reggie more.
You guys make a good point. I'm going to think about this as I go pick up Randy's dry cleaning. This is...
You don't pick up the dry cleaning. You don't empty the dishwasher. You don't set the lineup in time.
You moved him out of the flex.
Well, and with Amy, it's like, I don't do anything else around the house. So it's like, if I forget to set the lineup, Seth's disgusted with me because I don't know how to work our washing
machine. Dude, that is one of the most frustrating things about Sean.
Wait,
there's not a lot of frustrating things about Sean. I don't know how they can function. He doesn't do anything.
He doesn't know how to do anything.
Nothing.
I was telling Sean, like when I work out, I've got a heavy sweater. Yeah. I throw my workout stuff in the washer immediately because, you know, mildew sets in.
Yeah,
there.
Right, yeah.
And Sean was like, I don't even know how to use our washer.
I don't. But I have started throwing it in the washer.
You're a giver.
What a considerate human being.
That's a step.
You're
man.
A giver.
It's a step. I get really intimidated by the washer.
Same way I leave.
Hold on, I leave my pubes
on the bathroom floor, so they're there to get swept up after I trim.
So a man, non-clean head to toe, man. So imagine being in a house where I do virtually nothing, and then I forget to set the fantasy lineup.
It's bad.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It's clearly case by case because I'm all in. I'm starting to recommend that you don't do that.
Yeah, and maybe this will be an opportunity for growth because if the AI is right and you do go, what was it, 5-18?
Five and eight in the regular season. Yeah.
You might need to learn how to use the washer.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
That should be the punishment.
She's listening right now. Okay, I liked you 90 seconds ago. Yes. Now you're giving her ideas to punish me.
If we finish in last, that you're doing the laundry
for a
month.
That is really good. I love stipulations on anything. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good.
Sean, you know what? This might be empowering for you, though. If you're forced to learn to use a modern washing machine in which all you have to do literally is press one button, then maybe that'll be a growing opportunity.
I would literally choose a washboard right now.
No, you wouldn't. A washing machine. Now I know for certain you have not used a washing machine. No, you would not.
That thing looks like the inside of a cockpit of a 747. Like, what are all these buttons and arrows? All right, you guys got a show to do. Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies and fair tidings.
Yep, thank you. Hope to see all of you. If you're out of practice and you happen to be listening on your AirPods or whatever, come grab a burger over at Cal's Cookout. We are done. We are out of time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.